This is NPR News. I'm Stephanie Curtis. Carrie Miller is on vacation. Yesterday, President Trump announced that he was, quote, starting the process of terminating the diversity lottery program. Now, it was the diversity visa lottery that allowed the man charged with committing the Halloween truck attack in New York to move to the United States and obtain a green card, and he had been a permanent legal resident since 2010. President Trump also tweeted, "We are fighting hard for merit-based immigration, no more Democrat lottery systems. We must get much tougher and smarter." So would getting rid of the diversity visa lottery system make the country safer? Joining me now is Professor Stephen Lugomski. He's Professor Emeritus at Washington University Law and former Chief Counsel of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services for the Department of Homeland Security. Professor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. I'm going to give a quick call out to our listeners also. If you are a legal permanent resident and you want to share your experience with the visa program, give us a call. We really want to hear from you. 1-800-242-2828 or 651-227-6000. Now, Professor, can you tell us, what is it like to emigrate legally to the United States? Can you walk us through the steps of what it's like?
Sure. Well, one of the misconceptions that I probably should clear up is that as long as there's nothing affirmatively wrong with you and you're willing to wait your turn in line, then you can immigrate to the U.S. And I want to be clear that that's not the way it works. In order to immigrate legally, you have to fit within one of a few very specific pigeonholes that Congress has created. The big ones are people who are coming to reunify with certain close family members who are U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents. Mm-hmm. The second one is people who have certain very special occupational skills that can't be found in the U.S. Labor force. A third is refugees. And then this fourth category is diversity visas. If you don't fit within one of those categories, you simply cannot immigrate to the U.S., period. So that's the big thing. Every year, about 50,000 immigrant visas that's about 5% of our average immigration per year, are set aside for this diversity visa program. And the way it works is that there are elaborate mathematical formulas that distribute these 50,000 visas among the various regions of the world. And then within each region, in order for an individual to qualify, you have to be from a country that has sent fewer than 50,000 immigrants to the U.S. During the preceding 5 years.
When was this created?
It was created in 1990. It was part of a much larger immigration bill that dealt with a whole range of other immigration issues. And the thinking behind it was that because these other categories are so specific, there are lots of worthwhile individuals who don't fit neatly within those categories who might be interested in immigrating. And in addition, the hope was that it would diversify our immigrant stream, because the vast majority of our immigrants did come and still do come from just two regions. One is the Latin America Caribbean region, and the other is Asia. So the hope was that this would open it up to other people, particularly Europeans. And as it turns out, Europeans and Africans have pretty much dominated this program in roughly equal numbers.
And I guess I can see why it is people focus on this being more of a threat to our security if they aren't coming with a workplace that's asking them to come, or special skills, or family already here. It's random people, right? Isn't it more of a security threat?
Well, I can understand why you would ask that question. Now, I think my answer would be no, however. Of course, anytime any person is admitted to the U.S., nobody can provide a 100% guarantee that that person won't harm anyone, just as you can't provide any such guarantee for a U.S. citizen. But there is no evidence that I'm aware of that diversity immigrants present any special risks with respect to either crime or national security. And probably the reasons are, one, these immigrants are rigorously screened just like every other immigrant. And secondly, if you're thinking of coming to the U.S. to commit a terrorist act, this would be a very illogical strategy, because the chances of winning the lottery are so remote. They typically range from 1 in 200 to 1 in 400. So it wouldn't be a likely strategy for a would-be terrorist.
Bad plan, huh?
Yeah.
Let's go to the calls right now. We've got a call from Abdi in Minneapolis who wants to discuss the Trump's immigration stance. Hello,
sure.
Abdi. What's your experience with the visa program?
How you doing, Gesty?
Hi.
Yeah, my name is Abdi. I'm calling from Minnesota State. I think the Trump, if he bend in if immigration or a lot of immigration stuff, something like that, they don't make any sense because the extremists everywhere, the world, I think, nowhere safer this time because the reason I say that nowhere safer, if you look around if it's Africa, Asia, European, America, they all kind of extremist people, whatever, they Muslim or Christian or whatever they are, they so many extremists, and they have a lot of stress, then they started killing people, you know, so, you know, the Las Vegas, last 2 months, what happened in Las Vegas, the guy killed a dozen people, and yesterday in New York, and everywhere in the world, when you look around, you're going to see, like, terrorists, extremists, all kind of different race, I don't know where to stand right now.
Thank you, Abdi. He's right about there being extremists in all different places. Are we placing an undue focus on our immigration system when we're worrying about our safety and how well our economy is doing? Is fixing the immigration system, do we put too much focus on it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that immigration is exaggerated as a contributor to terrorism. There's no question that terrorism is a serious problem in the U.S. as it is in almost every country in the world. Unless we were to totally shut down our entire immigration system, we will never be able to guarantee that a person who comes in will never do any harm to any U.S. citizen. But the reality is that the U.S. has thrived so much because of immigration historically and today, and the only solution, really, short of shutting down immigration entirely, would be more vetting. And it's very hard for me to think of any techniques we could use that are not already in place. Right now, the vetting is extremely rigorous, and that probably explains why the crime rates among immigrants have been shown to be actually less than those among the U.S. population. So immigration actually reduces the U.S. crime rate.
It's not even just President Trump who wants to cut back on the diversity visa lottery. Schumer and Senators Schumer, Flake, and the rest of the Gang of Eight, in their immigration bill, they were stepping back from it too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I think the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill that you're referring to, which the Senate passed in 2013, was a very comprehensive bill. It dealt with a whole range of immigration issues, including legalizing a large chunk of the immigrant population, expanding the criteria for legal immigration, and so on. So I think the willingness to sign on to a repeal of the diversity visa program was probably more of a concession to the conservatives than an affirmative preference of the liberals.
So what would you like to see? How would you like to see our immigration system change?
I would love to see legislation similar to what the Senate passed in 2013. And what that legislation did was really three main things. One is it tremendously beefed up our enforcement apparatus for immigration, both at the border and in the interior, just allowing far more appropriations for that purpose and so on. Secondly, it did reform what I think are pretty outdated criteria for legal immigration. And the third, as I mentioned, was the legalization of a large portion of the population. It would have given them a 10-year path to acquire lawful permanent resident status, and after that, the option of citizenship down the road. So I think that kind of compromise, which accommodates both security concerns, enforcement concerns, and the needs of the undocumented population, seems very reasonable to me.
Let's take a call from Mughal in Minneapolis. Mughal, hi. How are you today?
Fine. I'm doing good.
And you came to the United States through this diversity lottery program, correct?
Yes.
And how did you find out? And then what was it like? What was the vetting like when you came through the program?
Okay, the process is not as easy as people might think. The process, because winning among like 10 million applicants, only 50,000 appeared. So the process is not an easy. Again, the background check takes too long for you to come to the U.S. And when you come here, it's not like you're not like the refugees where they are taken care of and getting everything you have to take care of and get a job on your own, pay your rent and everything. So I think when somebody who came here through the diversity visa does something out of millions who came here, it should not be more of a reactionary that we should close the diversity, the 99.99% who did not do anything should not be affected by one person, which is unfortunate. And I really feel the pain of those people who are killed by that person.
Thank you, Mughal. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, can I comment on
that? Yeah, of course.
I think the caller makes two very important points. One is that the vetting really is very rigorous. In addition to what he mentioned, every applicant for a diversity visa is personally interviewed by a U.S. consular officer overseas. Every applicant provides both biographic and biometric data. Those data are then fed into a whole bunch of government computers that scan intelligence and law enforcement databases, and that's all before the person sets foot in the U.S. And then once he arrives at the border, the person is re-vetted. So the vetting is very rigorous. And the second thing I would mention is that it does seem illogical to say that because this person came in on a diversity visa program, that means we should shut down the entire program. It would almost be like saying, if this person is right-handed, then we should put a ban on all right-handed people. There's just no connection between the fact that it was the diversity visa program and the fact that this one individual committed this terrorist act.
Should we be doing more to support? We only have a minute left, and this maybe is too big of a question. But should we be doing more to support the immigrants once they arrive here? He said, like, refugees get a lot more support, and you arrive here, and then there isn't as much support.
Yeah, no, I think that's extremely important. That helps not just the immigrant, but also the U.S., because it fosters integration. Portugal is a wonderful example of a country that invests resources mainly by using immigrants to provide volunteer help to immigrants, typically from those same countries, people who speak the same language and who trust the people who are giving them information. So processes along those lines, I think, would do a lot, both to help people integrate and to reduce the impulse for criminal activity.
Thank you so much for joining us, Professor Legomski.
My pleasure.
Professor Stephen Legomski is Professor Emeritus at Washington University Law and former Chief Counsel of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services for the Department of Homeland Security. And I'd also like to thank everyone who called in and shared their experiences with us.